Today's program has been pre-recorded. Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey everyone, welcome into Readin', Writin', and Reason, our weekly podcast in which we break down and radio show all things happening with your kids, the money, parental rights, and what's happening is not good this week. First of all, let me tell you about Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, who is the great masquerader. This week, he and his education secretary trotted out the idea they're really trying to reform all these tests that the kiddies have to take and make them not as odious. Okay, I'm open to hearing some of that stuff. But deep down, I know what this is about with Shapiro. It's not just putting them online and we're going to save time. Less testing, more learning. You know what it's about. It's startling how bad these scores are. The statewide Pennsylvania test. And what they reveal is how bad the public schools, by and large, are. And how much worse they've got after people like Josh Shapiro and others advocated for continuing to mask up and continuing to shut down schools. So he can posture all that he wants about the idea too stressful for kids. Teachers teaching to the test. No one's telling them to teach to the test. No one is getting on teachers if the test results are abysmal, per se. But it's the system. What is his remedy? He's against school choice. He won't advocate for school choice. He won't face down the teachers' union when it comes to school choice. So what is he proposing to do other than shortening the tests so that they don't look as bad and fewer of them and continuing to spend more money? Exactly what the teachers' unions want. That's what Josh Shapiro's about. That's what all of this is about. All right, so we'll have more on that as it continues, but be aware when you see this media fluff over this, that's exactly what it's about. All right, now the Biden administration is doing something here, Dom Giordano and Readin', Writin', and Reason, that I told you about. They haven't finalized one part of it yet, but they're giving you where they're going to go if reelected. They're afraid, and I ought to tell you something, this is a winning issue. Title IX is legendary. We've talked about this before. Title IX is the thing that has given tremendous force to women in sports and other endeavors, right? The Biden administration has finalized new Title IX rules, and they redefine sex. Now, there are two parts to this. One, I think the Trump administration, Betsy DeVos, had it right. Too many of these colleges were just going after usually male students just on a claim by a female around sexual harassment or things of that nature. Protections were put in so that there would be an even playing field. Well, this takes that away. It also redefines sex in the sense that we get into it now as far as who is a woman. You know that's what this is coming down to. So it's placed Title IX, say the critics, and the decades of advancement and protections for women and girls on the chopping block. The final rule here dumps kerosene on the already raging fire that is the Democrats' contentious cultural warfare that aims to radically redefine sex and gender, says Representative Virginia Fox, chairwoman of the House Education and Workforce Committee, told the Washington Examiner. The rules also undermines existing due process rights, placing students and institutions in legal jeopardy and, again, undermining the protections Title IX is intended to provide. Evidently, the acceptance of biological reality and the faithful implementation of the law are just pills too big for the department to swallow and it shows. Here's the worst part of this. The worst part is it's a tell toward what they will do, the Biden administration, after they're elected, if they're elected again. And what they will do is they will go out of their way to remove any restriction these statewide bans. I think there's 25 or 26 of them saying, hey, you're a biological male, go play against men, or a transgender league, you can't play against women. They will immediately get, they completely redefine everything there. That's how far. Now, there were 240,000 public comments on this. Wow. People were very upset about this. We've just seen the heyday. Caitlin Clark is probably going to sign a deal with Nike or somebody like Nike for about $10 million. That's the news report this week. We've seen what she's done to put women's sports. People are encouraging this stuff. So let's stop talking about gender equity, pay equity, and all that with the Biden administration and keep biological males in their own lane. It's just that simple. This is a tell that will not happen. That's where this is going. That's what you're going to see. We also see this situation in Maryland this week. News reports indicate a 129-page manifesto, if you will, by a student who is transgender, threatening to shoot and kill people in the school district. Now, the student and lawyers say, well, this was just a fictional piece. Authorities there don't seem to believe that in Montgomery Township, Maryland. So we will see where this turns out. This is breaking as we speak. One other item here on Reading, Writing, and Reason with Dom Giordano. Please make people aware of this each week here on Talk Radio 1210. Wherever you get your podcasts, make them aware of it. We bring you the big guests. We bring you insight. And we stand firmly, the mantra of the show, parental rights. Parental rights are what drives this. Well, in New York this week, Thursday, cops did storm Columbia University. Columbia University had these tent cities and people saying they're proud to support Hamas. Now, we're only 6 months after what happened on October 7th. It costs $90,000 a year plus to go to this Ivy League school. And yet, this is what we're seeing play out with these mobs. 108 of them were arrested, including, reportedly, according to news reports, the daughter of Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. If that is true, well, it follows, does it not? Now, where is some of this coming from? Some of it's coming from the high school. Some of it's all the way back to grade school. For example, in Chicago, public schools in Chicago are teaching children to decolonize and become anti-Western activists. That's right. Skyline, the brand new $135 million universal curriculum introduced by Chicago Public Schools in 2021, is rooted in critical race theory, diversity, equity, inclusion ideology, is largely inaccessible to parents. You can't find it. They're not transparent. They won't put it up on the websites or behind paywalls. But that's what it's about, decolonization. Watch for that word, particularly as we finish up this year in school and move to the next year. One other item to tell you about. Ron DeSantis may not have run the greatest campaign for president. You know, may not be charismatic. We've seen some of that. But boy, does he get things done. This week, he signed a bill after positioning this in Florida to say that the public schools in Florida at various levels at various times must teach about communism. Now, what must they say about it? Well, I would say that schools reject it. Should we be teaching, have an open mind about communism? Well, if I were still teaching, I'd allow a little bit of debate in the classroom. You could have a debate around that, certainly. But what should the curriculum lay out about communism? Should it not lay out the misery that this has caused around the world? The death totals, Miami, Florida, school districts right near Cuba, right? Not, what is it, 90 miles away, something like that, by open sea, maybe fewer. What should it say about it? Should it not lay out the horrors of this? Should it not lay out when you hear students, wow, I never knew about this. I never knew about socialism, communism. Should it tell them that it's been around forever? Should it tell them about the wars that have been fought, the misery, behind the Iron Curtain? Yes, exactly. And DeSantis, also this week, to his credit, reined in the so-called ban books movement. Even though there's no banning of any book in Florida, he reined it in schools to stop frivolous complaints to overwhelm the system that you have to have a child in a particular school to complain about a book in the library or curriculum in that school. And I think that makes a lot of sense. In other words, you can't just have people sitting there all day long going wild and putting through schools through all these hoops just because they want to do that. There has to be a stakeholder. That's a sound principle. It's the type of thing that you see. It's called standing in the court system. So you see that DeSantis is a master of the details. He drills down on this stuff. He just doesn't bloviate, fly in, throw something against the wall, and then move forward with that. It's not about that. Not about that at all. So I commend him. He does get things done in Florida, and this is another one. And he fights back in the media to show what they're saying about the so-called don't say gay law, how ridiculous it was. There is no such thing. All right, coming up here on Reading, Writing, and Reason with Dom Giordano. Again, tell your friends about it. Tell parents about it, grandparents. Anybody who votes spends money on schools. You can find it where you get your podcast or each week here on Talk Radio 1210. Coming up, a lot more stuff in the news, including stories like the state of Tennessee has a bill that would require public schools to teach gun safety. I think that's a good thing. I'll tell you about that and tell you a couple more things that are breaking as we speak. All things kids, education, and parenting with Dom Giordano on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
Today's program has been pre-recorded.
I'm going to teach you.
Hey, everyone. Welcome into our final segment this week of Reading, Writing, and Reason. Dom Giordano with you. And boy, do we have a ton of things happening out there in the world of education, parenting, all the money that goes into it. Remember the mantra of this show, though, parental rights. This one is staggering, though. We saw a lot this week again with President Biden, more, quote, forgiveness of student debt. College loans. Penn's Wharton School analysis, though. So it is the University of Penn. Wharton School is a business part of it, but it's still, you know, not necessarily that conservative. They say, we estimate that President Biden's recently announced new plans, in quotes, to provide relief to student borrowers will cost $84 billion. In addition to the $475 billion that we previously estimated for President Biden's SAVE plan. But that goes to really, really needy people in their report, right? Question mark, right? Well, actually, listen to this nugget. At least 750,000 of those households that are getting this forgiveness are making over $312,000 in average household income. I'll say that again. Under this current SAVE plan, the analysis of the people over at the Wharton School at Penn, these are needy people. At least 750,000 of those households are making over $312,000 in average household income. Meanwhile, to anyone who questions, they say, this question of allocation of resources, the White House answer is to shame them from official White House accounts by listing how much in pandemic loans were forgiven for House Republicans who own individual small businesses. Wharton says that's weird because the reason businesses needed pandemic relief was because the White House banned them from operating. And the only answer to pay off every media studies PhD student loan is something like this. Colleges, they say, are now charging up to $100,000 a year. Yes, literally. And that's ultimately going to be paid for by the taxpayers who work to make it less expensive? Why cut corners when you need to remodel the cafeteria? Great stuff here on the Reading, Writing, and Reason. Imagine that number again. At least 750,000 of those households that are going to have forgiveness under this most recent iteration are making over $312,000 in average household income. Nice work by Wharton. At least something good has gone over there at Penn. Hey, NewJersey.com this week, our researchers found this. I have terrible handwriting. It plays into this. The headline at NJ.com, I printed it out. It is extensive. They wrote, so your kid has terrible handwriting. Does it really matter? The death of handwriting. Now, they go through here. It's not just poor handwriting, but it's also some just can't handwrite or can't read handwriting. It's like hieroglyphics or something to them. And also this report at NJ.com says that learning to write is still an essential part of childhood development, a building block tied to literacy and fine motor skills, says Stephanie Marcello, chief psychologist at Rutgers University Behavioral Healthcare. Yet these days, students are short on writing stamina. Teachers are far less focused on perfection or even technique. Remember the Palmer method? I don't see it mentioned. Not Arnold Palmer either. But do kids still need to write legibly? Do they need to practice the art of handwriting? And they basically say that, yes, within reason, there's certainly a world where you have to be able to read what people are writing. It's a great report. It underlines again, I know at various state levels, people are still trying to pass bills demanding that handwriting be somewhere in the curriculum. The Daily Collegian, which really takes a look at all the woke craziness going on college campuses and bizarre stuff across the country, they have one about what is happening at the lawn, the Kites for Gaza event at University Park, Pennsylvania. That's Penn State. You wouldn't think Penn State. Usually you think of Berkeley or someplace like that engaging in this. Students, faculty make kites in support of Gaza, and then they write messages on those kites. Hosted by Penn State Students for Justice in Palestine, the Faculty for Justice in Palestine Network and Penn State staff writers organized to represent diverse stories. Wow, what a group. Attendees were encouraged to make a kite, which symbolizes hope and resilience in the Palestinian liberation movement. Several speakers shared what they thought about this. The kites have become a symbol of peace and freedom for Palestinians. That's what they're engaged in. And that's Penn State, not seen as necessarily one of the more radical campuses, but they might surprise you a little bit as far as what actually goes on at Penn State. One final item here on Reading, Writing, and Reason this week that is serious. The College Fix reports this. They do a great job also. They say that higher education is the headline in the United States is way too chummy with communist China, and it's largely about money. They say that contracts between U.S. universities and China total per year $2.3 billion in the last decade amid ongoing concerns about the influence of communist China on U.S. higher education. The investigation uncovered approximately 2,900 contracts from 2012 through 2023 and about 200 U.S. public colleges and universities in all. Some involve specialized training, such as $37 million in contracts between Chinese airlines and the University of North Dakota to train and license pilots. Another $1.8 billion in contracts with China's Institute of Naval Orange at Gannon Normal University and the University of Florida involve researching tree genetics and diseases. Others were less specific. For example, all of China's major government-owned oil companies have funded contracts for $100,000 or more at the University of Texas at Austin, which the school describes only as research activity. Yeah, we have these Confucius Institutes, some of them at the high school level, a lot of them at college. And to me, China is very, very good at this. And anything they're engaged in with this, I think we need to shine the light of scrutiny on it. They are very, very suspect. One other parting area this week, too, here on Reading, Writing, and Reason with Dom Giordano. A Tennessee bill, now you would expect something like this in Tennessee, maybe, would require public schools to teach gun safety course. You know, it's always interesting to take a look at when a kid graduates school, high school, what do we expect that they would have at least touched on? I told you in the first hour today of Reading, Writing, and Reason that in Florida, Governor DeSantis signed into law this past week that students must be educated about communism at various times, various stages of development. Now, I'd like to see every state in the country do that. I don't understand why you would not do it, and particularly with Florida being so close to the mainland of Cuba, well, there should be no response other than, yeah, we should be doing that. The Tennessee legislature passed a bill, which is now going to go to the governor, requiring public schools to teach age-appropriate and grade-appropriate gun classes. We see this proposed legislation as a critical step in averting firearm-related problems, said Representative Chris Todd, a Republican. The Tennessee Senate passed this bill 24-3 vote recently. If signed by Governor Bill Lee, the course will begin in 25-26 school year. The gun safety classes will be taught primarily through videos and online resources and would teach things like firearm storage, school safety, and how to avoid getting hurt if a student finds a gun and to immediately notify an adult if a gun is found. Now, you would think that this would be supported by everybody, but apparently that's not the case. Some think this just promotes things like the Second Amendment to the extreme. I see this, if done properly and based upon what I have in front of me, I see no reason why this wouldn't be proper, as something that will hopefully, we hear this all the time, save a life, make an impact about how serious firearms are, treat them with the proper respect and caution that's necessary. We'll have more on this if we see the governor signs it as it continues forward. Hey, thanks for listening this week to Reading, Writing, and Reason with Dom Giordano. Dan, my producer at the controls. I hope you join us every week here on Talk Radio 1210. And also tell people where they can find the podcast, Reading, Writing, and Reason, where we are dedicated to parental rights. And that is something that just can't be compromised here. We're talking about the fact that this is a question of how far do we go with the rights of parents, and some of the things that have gone on in schools have really lapsed away from that. And apparently in education, you have a lot of people that think they're the experts, not the parents. Now, you know, deep down, that's faulty. We're not talking about, well, maybe they know more about algebra, trigonometry, or whatever, but it's your kids. It's your kid, and you have the say on this at levels that we just have to reconfirm again and again and again, and that's what I plan to do here. Thanks for listening this week. Dom Giordano with you, another edition of Reading, Writing, and Reason.
You need a lesson, gonna bring it to you now.